And who knows what's going on with Nicole, his wife, as well. How you doing this morning, Hank?
Hey, JR. Things are going great, brother. How are you doing?
Excellent. Thank you. Good. All right. Let's get to, we'll start with the CFL side of things, because the league announced, all the days run into each other now. I can't remember if it was Monday or yesterday or whatever, but they, like every other sport pretty much, Hank, has put a training camp on pause, and who knows how long this is going to last. But my question for you would be, and you talk to a lot of guys that are still playing the game, what do they think might happen as far as CFL players getting paid if this thing goes long enough to get into where the regular season is delayed?
Yeah, I mean, there's so many different talks taking place right now, and just talking into some of the decision makers actually involved in this. I mean, it's even been talks to the point where Labor Day is potentially the beginning of the season, because right now it's not in their hands. I mean, it's in the most important people's hands, which is public health, our government, people who are handling this pandemic head on, and determining as far as what the course of action is going to be here. And really, when it comes to sports right now, JR, I mean, you can't look at the reality of sports returning until you actually see some positive signs as far as people starting to be cured. A vaccine has been located, and now they're starting to administer it to people. Because you look at overseas, where people thought China and South Korea had already turned the corner, and of course they tried to reinstate their basketball seasons, but now they're delaying those as well, as they thought it was a premature move. So the thing is, I think each and every other league right now they're looking at other leagues and taking models and examples from them, because they don't want to be the league that makes that mistake and says, hey, definitively, we're coming back this day. Oh, wait, no, we're not. Because then that makes their upper executive management, the people making the decisions, look like they didn't take any consideration as far as into the fact that we're losing people today. So right now, people have to be smart as far as in what's being talked about. But one thing they have talked about is, what about with the money? Because now you're starting to see different teams lay off different people in administration and their front offices. And right now, I just don't know. I mean, I don't know if there's going to be any contingency plan for players to make the money, because right now, if there's no football, there's no money from the television contract.
Hank, as far as the Red Blacks, and I guess any team, but you've got entirely new staff, lots of new players. Are we seeing a ton of video coaching and communication going on between staff and players right now?
100%. You definitely know that's taking place, and coaches are taking opportunities now to, you know, communicate with each other to and from their homes, and you know, start to put the game plan together, which I'm pretty sure, as far as the playbook for training camp, has already been put together, because that's why the coaches got together in mid to late February, depending on which team that you're with. But the focus of that was to start implementing your systems to each other, for the new coaches on the staff. Start helping them learn exactly the nuances of what you're going to be teaching and how it should be taught. But now, hopefully, over the first few weeks, yeah, you demand more time as far as for that communication and that building to take place between your staffs before you start to send it in the different directions and start to relay the word and start to implement those game plans to your players. But now it's got to happen because, again, you want to make sure, regardless of how much time that's going to be allotted for training camp, once things are allowed to get back to normality and players can get out there on the field and start flying in from wherever home is, just to get ready for the season. If it's a 3-week preseason or a 3-week training camp, that's a quick turnaround for football. So the thing is, you want to have any opportunities to get a head start. But yes, you better believe it. Now guys are having Zoom meetings, setting those up right now and making sure they can start talking with their coaches. And especially for guys who live in town, they're already on the phone. They've already sent emails back and forth. They're printing off game plans, talking to coaches, talking to teammates. So yes, you can definitely understand the virtual world has become more of a reality world now for us, especially in the world of business, and really so in the world of football, and that's both the NFL and the CFL right now.
With Henry Burris, as you mentioned, no games means no money coming in, no fans, certainly, because there's no games, and no television money as well, which is, and we know that, listen, it's a knife's edge as far as CFL teams and their ability to make money or not lose a lot of money. That being said, is it a realistic scenario, Hank, if training camps get pushed down the line to into where the regular season would have started? Is it realistic to think you'll have a 2-week training camp and then right into regular season games? There would be no exhibition games. Is that a realistic option?
That is a realistic option, and that's actually one of the options that you hear people talking about. And I mean, you want to try to give teams the best opportunity to put the best product on the field and prepare beforehand. But, hey, this is a state of the union that we've never seen before, and these are unforeseen circumstances that we just have to deal with. And the fact is, if you're a professional player, I mean, there's somebody who's going to be on the out, and it's the new guys trying to make headway and make an impression in training camp. It's really not going to suit those guys well, but it's just how it happens sometimes. And so for the guys who've been on teams beforehand and have played in the CFL and who have the experience, advantage them. And for the guys who are coming in trying to understand this game and learn a new system and get to know their teammates and learn their opponent, there's not an advantage for those guys. But, yeah, you can definitely see a quick turnaround happening because, once again, the most important part is getting people back in the stands but doing it safely, getting the players out there doing it safely, but also making sure that if any capital can be created this season, and especially with that hard date set for November 22nd in Regina, you want to make sure that you can create the fairest playing field for all the teams to put their best foot forward to make sure that they're eligible to have a good season, to get into the playoffs, to have a chance to make it to the Grey Cup, because regardless, at the end of the day, like you said, it's about making that capital so these teams and organizations can continue to function, you know, fairly, and they can function efficiently into the future. And right. Who knows what would happen if this entire season got canceled? I think that's a reality I definitely don't want to foresee and try to imagine right now.
Yeah, no kidding. It seems to be everything I've heard from officials with the CFL. They're bound and determined that the Grey Cup game and the weekend will is set in stone. It's going to be in Regina. You know, if there is a season, it's going to be in Regina at whatever that November 23rd or whatever date it ends up being. Why do you think they are that way? Like, why is it not a realistic option? I know the weather in Canada gets worse, but you can get bad weather in October and November or anywhere. Like, why is it not realistic to push if they needed to push everything back a month if that meant they could get a full season in?
Well, it's more of a production situation where there's so much that goes into putting on the Grey Cup. I mean, it's almost like the Super Bowl where they create a concrete date as well. Well, it has to happen on this date because there's so much that goes into it. There's so much that's invested into it as well. And that's more not only from the league and from the fan perspective, but also from the local perspective there in Regina, in and around Saskatchewan. I mean, there's so much money that's been invested into that Grey Cup on that date. You know, whether it's bringing in people to perform, and if they can't come in and perform, then now you got to go to your second and third option because they could have other implementations in place. But there's been so much production put into place that they have to stick with that firm date because of all the dollars that have been invested and the return that they're looking at as well. That gives them their best opportunity as far as just how the production and everything has been laid out, just how the plan has been laid out, and they want to make sure that they can implement that plan because I know both the CFL and the NFL when it comes to the Super Bowl and the Grey Cup, both kind of operate under the same conditions where they create a hard concrete date because right now, in order for them to maximize the potential and the returns, not only for the local market economy-wise, but also for the league as far as from a capital standpoint and also that return on that investment, they have to create that, I guess, that focus on this is our date no matter what. And so at least everybody's on one sheet of music and working towards the 22nd of November there in Regina.
How much focus, Hank, and discipline does it take for an athlete right now? Let's face it, most things on your mind have nothing to do sports-related, but to try to stay the course, try to stay disciplined and find some way to keep yourself in shape.
And also jobs, because I've talked to some guys, Simmer, that has said, you know, let's say the season is put off until or postponed until Labor Day, and guys wouldn't be getting back to camp until mid-August potentially. And guys have asked, you know, is it worth coming up with only 50% of the pay that I'm going to receive with where the dollar is in Canada and then move back to the U.S. with my family? And I've had guys talk about that because that is, you know, something guys have to consider at this point. You know, what's more efficient for you and your family to make ends meet and to make it by on top of training now? And, of course, they haven't shut down fields and parks like we have here in Canada and the U.S., so a lot of guys are able to get out and go into certain gyms where nobody is pretty much working out, and be out on fields working on drills just with some cohorts and friends that they work out with every day. So guys are staying diligent and disciplined as far as from that standpoint and doing the things that it takes to get themselves ready. But, of course, guys are going crazy because right now, you know, they want to get back to their reality just as we know it as well. And I've talked to some guys and say, just continue to look at the silver lining. You're able to spend more time with your family. You're able to actually get rest. You're able to spend time with your kids and do things that you once didn't because now they're not at school. So look at the silver lining and take advantage of that, because once we do get back to reality, the opportunities that you have right now, you should have taken advantage of, and the fact that you didn't, now you're wishing that you once would have. And so, you know, they're looking at that reality. But to me, the one big question is, like I mentioned, we talked about it last week. You know, some guys with the reduction in pay, if it was to be a half season, you're only receiving 50% of your pay at once it's prorated at that point. You know, for a lot of guys, they're going to be asking themselves that question on top of, should I go out and start looking for an occupation? Because if there's a chance that this season may not happen, I need to take advantage of that. But what if it's only 50% of the season? Is the pay worth it as well?
Yeah, with the 70-cent dollar as well, yeah, right, for the American
exactly.
guys. For the American guys. So one of the, you mentioned one of the ideas, but I'm not sure if it's at the league level or just some people spitballing of a Labor Day start to the season, and with the Grey Cup cemented into the end of November. If they went to a schedule where everybody played each other one, so it was four home games, four away games, nine games or eight games, I guess, total. In your opinion, is that a viable season? Like, would you, if they went with eight games and then played a playoff and had a Grey Cup champion, would you, if you were playing, be able to look back on it 20 years from now and go, I was a Grey Cup champion in 2020, even though it was only an eight-game season?
Hey, you know, JR, by hook or by crook, you know, you have to get it any way you can. And it's just unfortunate, just, you know, if it does have to come to that. But, you know, at least each and every team gets an opportunity to show if they do have that it factor over each and every other team. And so in some circumstances, you can't say it was fair because you did have a shot at each and every team out there to put your best foot forward and play eight games to get your team building chemistry. Because, again, it does take a few weeks to get on the same page with guys. But, again, if you have a chance to at least go out there and play every team once and have an eight-game season, it does give you a chance to potentially show what you are capable of as a team, and also put yourself in a position to make the playoffs, possibly win your division, and get into the playoffs with a shot to go to the Grey Cup. So I think it's viable enough. I think it gives teams a long enough period of time to come together, to gel, and to build. And I think it puts each and every team, just as we say, if they have to deal with it, so do you. And if you can't make the adjustments and they do, then boo-hoo. Okay, nobody's going to cry for you, because now here are other teams who've taken advantage of this moment, and I guess the reality they understood, and now they're building off of it, and they've created that type of team that can get things done regardless of what the season implies. But, you know, coaches, I remember Rick Campbell always used to imply to us all the time as players that, hey, only worry about the things that you can't control. The things that you can't control, they're out of your control, so why are you even worrying about them anyway? And so I think right now, I think that's the one thing a lot of coaches are going to have to say to their players starting now, is to focus on what you can get done and what we can achieve, because right now the stuff that we don't decide upon, we'll leave that in their hands. But right now we got to make sure we can do our job when that time comes.
If it came to it where we only had an eight-game season and everybody played each other one time, since this is the weirdest season of all and we're going to put an asterisk beside it or whatever, is it then realistic, or should it be, that we just have one division? We don't have divisions. We're not going to get into cross. Like, it's just like if everything is even, let's just put everybody in one division for this one year.
I love that idea. I love that, especially for this season, like you said, with eight games, because, and again, you don't want a team from one division who only had three wins making it to the playoffs because of, you know, just of how things were able to boil down, you know, with this season. But I think, yeah, definitely the top teams should all make the playoffs. The top six teams should make the playoffs regardless of what division you're in. And I 100% agree with that, because, again, you want the best teams in there that were able to make the adjustments and adjust to what's taking place in modern-day times, even if you put an asterisk beside it, whatever. But to me, like you mentioned, the best six teams should be in there playing for a chance to be in the Grey Cup.
All right. I want to end, quickly touch on the NFL. The owners voted yesterday, no big surprise, has been talked about already, that they are going to expand the playoffs with an extra team in each conference, and that will mean that only one team gets a bye. So how much do you think that's going to affect potentially, Hank, late season play? Because we've seen, right, the truth is in the numbers. Teams that to get to the Super Bowl and win the Super Bowl, in large part, are teams that had a bye, didn't have to play in that first weekend. How much more emphasis is there going to be to get that first overall spot in the conference to make sure you don't play on that opening weekend?
Well, we have to thank the NFC East, the Dallas Cowboys, at the Eagles late in the season for this occurring, because it actually was football that actually meant something going into going into December. You know, we're actually players that we actually tuned in to watch play. Some of the big names are actually going to have to play late into the season, like the L.A. Rams, who did have a winning record but unfortunately turned it on too late and couldn't get into the playoffs. Well, now games are going to mean something. So I love it, actually, because, you know, for the fans late in the season, they look forward to seeing who are going to be those teams that are going to have momentum going into the playoffs by being that last team to squeeze in. Almost like March, it's almost like a March Madness feeling that's going to be taking place. And the one thing I'm going to love, guys, is Wild Card Weekend. It's going to be triple hitters. You're going to have three games on the Saturday, three games on the Sunday, man, with number two versus number seven.
Preach, brother.
Yeah, I'm loving it. And then the fact that there could be a potential upset, you know how awesome that could be, guys? And I know, like, Ben Roethlisberger and Andrew Luck have both been had wild card teams, the Baltimore Ravens, and we saw as far as the Green Bay Packers win it, both as wild card teams back in the early 2000s. You could potentially see that same thing happening, because to me, if the Rams would have got in this year, they would have created a lot of trouble for some teams, because they're playing great football down the stretch. And if we could have that same thing happen, or the potential of it happening, I mean, that adds a little more excitement. Guys, sports is all about drama. That's what we want more of, and I'm excited about it.
Love it. All right, back to the homeschooling, my friend.
You know what? Today's a day of math, guys. Okay. So wish me luck. Okay. Pythagorean theorem has no. It doesn't do anything in school today.
Oh my goodness! All right. Good luck with all that. I'm glad we're well past that. Thanks for joining us. We'll chat down the road.
Hey, take care now. All